Our guest preacher today is Dave McKay. Some of us, I think, know him fairly well. He's from Grace Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, and so he's going to come and help lead us through the rest of the service. So I invite you up now, Dave.
Well, good morning. And I can say something a little bit different this morning, and that is Happy New Year. It's a different occasion as we begin a new year. But let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Almighty God, our Father, you are the eternal God, and we find our rest in thee. We say with King David that our times are in your hands. And as we face a new year, O Lord, we certainly have trepidation about the future. We have anxieties. We have burdens which we bear. And as we face a future that is unknown to us, we take comfort in the knowledge that our future is known to you. Because truly our times are in your hands. You're the God of order. You are God who has a plan for each and every one of us and for our lives. And you indeed work all things together for good for those who are called according to your purpose. And so we trust in you, but we do bring our burdens to you, asking, O Lord, that you would give comfort to those who are mourning, those who are going through sickness, those who are going through financial difficulty, those who are struggling with anxiety about family matters. All of these matters, O Lord, we thank you that we can bring to you, that there is no burden that is too great. We are to cast all our anxieties upon you, O Lord, because you care for us. And so we do bring these concerns to you. And we ask, O Lord, that as we look at a year that is before us, that we would see it as a year of opportunity, opportunities to serve you. We look at a world that is filled with darkness. And even though there has been a celebration of Christmas in recent weeks, we have so many who have no idea what the true meaning of Christmas is. That, as the Apostle Paul tells us, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We recognize this, O Lord. But many do not see their sin and their need of a Savior. So we would pray for opportunities to speak to others and to serve others in the name of Christ Jesus. But we thank you that through Christ Jesus, eternal Father, our prayers are heard. We bring our prayers now in his name. Amen. My scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And would you please stand as I read from God's word, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We pray through your Holy Spirit it would speak to our hearts, bringing comfort and encouragement. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I have the opportunity this morning to say not only good morning, but Happy New Year. It is a new year. That can be concerning, can't it? Because we don't know what the new year is going to hold for us. Or maybe we do. Just the other day, I was texting a good friend of mine. Name is Bill. Bill and I have been friends for, I guess, going on 30 years. And at the end of his text, Bill said, "Well, I hope you have a wonderful new year." And my thumbs were getting ready to say much the same. "I hope you have a good year too, Bill." And I was brought up short. because just a week before I'd gotten a Christmas card from Bill in which he announced that the cancer he'd been battling over years has returned full force. It was terminal. He's expected to have 5 to 6 months to live. So it felt very awkward to say, have a good year. Didn't seem right to say, have a good half year or anything like that. So I somehow changed the wording. We often wonder what the new year is going to bring. How many people at this time last year said, oh, I am so glad to be done with 2020. You thought 2021 was going to be a piece of cake, didn't you? How many people now are saying, well, I'm glad to be that glad about 2021 as well. And then we don't know what the next year is going to be. So I thought it would be good to look at this text this morning and be reminded of a timeless truth, God's power, his ability to care for us. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us. You may know that verse very, very well. In fact, you may have that verse hanging somewhere on a wall. I do. A number of years ago, I bought a wall hanging from a Christian institute in the Indianapolis area. I have a lot of things on our walls, the house we were living in at that time. So the dilemma is always, where do you put something new? Well, I found a perfect spot right beside a bookcase that we have. And I was sitting there one day, and it occurred to me that this wall hanging was on the wall that was opposite the wall in our family room where the television set was stationed. And I thought that provided a very, very good counterpoint. Whatever I'm seeing on the news, on the television, on this wall, I just kind of need to look at the other wall and remind myself of Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. The great British preacher David Martin Lloyd-Jones said of this text that it tests us and our profession of faith. What he meant by that was, do we really believe that God is able? It is able to do even far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So as we begin a new year, I wanted to break this passage down for you. First, Paul stresses that God is able. What's a hymn we sing based on a great scripture text? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is what? Able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The Greek word that's translated able is dunameno. The noun in this word group is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Typically, it appears in the New Testament and is translated power. But note, Paul says, God is able, he has the power to do. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul is talking about the example of Abraham and Abraham's faith. And he makes this statement, Romans 4, 20, 21. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he, Abraham, grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Same language that we find here in Ephesians 3:20. God was able to do what he had promised. Let's just think of that for a moment. Consider what a remarkable statement it is that God is able to do. There are certain things which we are able to do. For example, I am able to walk and chew gum at the same time. That's one of my talents. I won't demonstrate it, but you'll have to trust me on that. I am able, I have the power, I have the ability to change internet providers and things like that, and I get things in the mail all the time encouraging me to do so. But I am increasingly aware as I go through life and as I get older how limited I am to do, how limited I am to be able to do whatever I ask or think. Certainly not able to do, as Paul says in Romans 4, that God was able to do what he had promised. Hate to bring up a sore subject, but I saw on my computer the other day, someone has put together a little clip. You can watch it if you want to. It's painful, but it's a It's a combination of the at least 12 times during the presidential campaign where Joe Biden promised to shut down the virus. How'd that work out? I'm sure he had the best intention of doing so. I don't question his motives. I'm not getting into politics or policy. I'm just saying it, not very easy to do, is it? No, he was not able to do that. Well, God is able to do. He's not limited. As the great preacher Charles Spurgeon put it, God leans on no assisting arm. It's interesting. Paul asserts that God is not just able to do, but he then adds layer upon layer to stress the greatness of God's power. Our God is able to do things, but Paul adds he is able to do, look at verse 20, abundantly, in fact, far more. In the King James, some of you may know that version here, is he's able to do exceeding abundantly, and then he adds, than all we ask. We simply cannot out-ask God. His power to give is greater than our power to ask. In the words of a hymn, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. I know that this church, like most churches within our denomination, support missionaries. And I know our missionaries would not be on the field if they did not believe that God is able to do far more abundantly than all they ask or think. Think of the father of the modern missionary movement, William Carey, a poor shoemaker before he came in faith to Christ, limited in his education, but he had a burden to take the gospel to the lost. And you know his great motto was, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. They go together, don't they? You want to attempt great things for God unless we expect great things from him, and we won't expect great things from him unless we believe he is able to do even more abundantly than all we ask or think. And I love that Paul adds to able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Think about it. There are things we don't even ask of God because we don't even think that such is possible. When the communists took over China in 1949, there was great anxiety within the Christian community throughout the world over the future of the church in China. Communists destroyed churches. They threw pastors into prison. They ruthlessly persecuted the believers, and everyone worried what would happen to the church of 1 million Christians in China at that time, 1949. Jump ahead 70-plus years of communist rule. The church in China numbers over 100 million believers. Does that sound like a good way to grow the church? Doesn't sound like a good philosophy of mission to me. We wouldn't think such would be possible. Well, it's possible because God is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. Probably 20 years ago, our denomination's mission agency, Mission of the World, started to kind of put forth an idea. It was pray for the 1040 window. Do you remember that? You may have some brochures from years ago. Pray for the opportunity for the gospel to be advanced in that part of the world, the 1040 window, mostly Muslim countries. And I remember an elder in our church, good solid man, he was on our missions committee, strong faith. I remember him coming up to me one day and he goes, I don't know, Dave. And he stopped short of saying it, but I knew what he was thinking. Is it really, are we just wasting our time praying for? I mean, how are we going to get missionaries into Baghdad and some of these countries? A few years ago, my wife and I were visiting missionaries in Athens, Greece. And I had an opportunity one night to go to a meeting of different Christian organizations, and they were talking about renovating a building, turning it into a Christian refuge or welcome center for refugees. All the refugees that were coming in from the ravages of ISIS and coming in from Syria and Iraq and all of those countries, making their way across to Turkey and then across to the different Greek islands, and then they're eventually getting to Athens. Amazing things are happening with refugees right now. Muslims are coming to faith in unprecedented numbers. We didn't think it was possible 20 years ago. How are we going to get missionaries into those people? God said, you let me work out the details. We'll just have these people come to the countries we already have missionaries. Oh, we didn't even thought to ask about those things. Psalm 115:3 tells us, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Stephen Charnock has a wonderful book called The Existence and Attributes of God. And he says this about the power of God. God's power is but his will perpetually working. God's power is so efficacious that nothing can vanquish it. Think of the story of Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What do they say to King Nebuchadnezzar? Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Word of God tells us that God does all that he pleases. Does that work out that way in your life? Are you able to do everything that you want? Charnock made this statement. He said, the omnipotence of God is his ability and strength to bring whatsoever he pleases. His power is such that he can do whatever he pleases without difficulty or resistance. He cannot be checked, restrained, or frustrated. He makes this statement, our desires may be and are more extensive than our power. Indeed, there are things we would like to see happen, but because our power is limited, we're not able to make our desires happen. But God is able. All right, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That calls for hallelujah, right? Well, Paul isn't done talking about God's power. Look at how verse 20 ends. According to the power at work within us. What's the significance of this? Well, we do not trust the God whom the deists describe. You know that idea? God is a great clockmaker. You know, he creates a clock, winds it up, and sets it in motion. God creates the world, he sets everything in motion, then he just steps back while things just happen. No. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, as he who upholds the universe by the word of his power. The Greek word translated uphold meant to support or maintain. And what's significant, it's in the present tense, implying continuous, present, ongoing action. At this moment, at this very moment, the God who is able is sustaining everything in the universe. There's an article in World Magazine several years ago about a scramble within the scientific community to explain something that is called dark energy. I'm not a scientist, but I'll do my best to explain it here. But gravity is a tremendous power. And according to the article, the question that was baffling scientists is, what energy is counteracting the tremendous power of gravity? In other words, why aren't moons being pulled towards planets? Why aren't the Earth, Jupiter, Mars being pulled towards the sun? If everything started with a big bang, why aren't we headed for a big crunch? So scientists talk about this mysterious, what they call dark energy. Something's counteracting gravity. Well, Hebrews 1:3 gives us some insight there, doesn't it? Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? A.W. Pink, maybe familiar with that name, but A.W. Pink made this comment. He said, well, may the saint trust such a God. Nothing is too hard for him. If God had a limit to his strength, we might well despair. But seeing he is clothed with omnipotence, no prayer is too hard for him to answer, no need too great for him to supply, no passion too strong for him to subdue, no temptation too powerful for him to deliver from, and no misery too deep for him to relieve. And so the believer trusts in the greatness of God's power, but then the believer also rejoices in the beauty of God's providence. And God's power, Paul tells us, is at work within us. You see, God, after powerfully overcoming our natural resistance to Him, drawing us to faith in Him, He's not done working in us. The Scriptures repeatedly describe God as He who creates, but then lovingly provides for His people. God promises to provide for those who grieve in Zion, Isaiah 61:3, to richly provide us with everything, 1 Timothy 6:17. Our word providence comes from the Latin providentia, which means foresight, seeing ahead. It's not just that God knows what will happen. He knows what will happen because He planned and orders all things to happen, and He plans them to happen for our good. Our Westminster Confession of Faith has a chapter on God's providence that says it simply, God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures' actions and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence. Charles Spurgeon, once again, God leans on no assisting arm. But we can lean on the everlasting arms. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Do you know how Paul stresses God's care for us? That's his heart. But he also stresses God's mighty hand, His power, His ability to care for us in a meaningful way. Now, I chose this text to preach on this morning because I thought it would have certainly some very timely application as we begin a new year. This being the first Sunday of a new year, none of us know at the beginning of a year what the coming year holds. Although, I mentioned earlier the sad situation of my friend who's had a grim medical prognosis, has an idea what the coming year holds. But I find it helpful towards the beginning of every year, I take some time to write into my day planner what the year is supposed to look like, appointments, events, and things like that. But then you find an interesting thing happens. Life happens. And whatever you put in your day planner, your day planner is going to get some surprises. So just for example, I brought along my day planner for 2021. I was introduced in connection with Grace Presbyterian Church. Actually, I'm retired from there. I retired in October of 2018. So I tell you one nice thing about retirement. There's a lot of blank spots in your day planner, but it doesn't stay blank for very long. Just looking through, I see for example, last year, January 8th, I had a presbytery meeting. I had January 19th, I had an appointment with my barber to get a haircut. Probably need to do that again. It's been a while. But that's about it. My January looked really wide open. And one weekend in particular, January 22nd through 24th, I don't have anything that was scheduled for that weekend. There wasn't anything there. I don't know what I was planning to do. Maybe watch some football games and everything else. But I know what did happen that weekend. Saturday of that weekend, I got a call from a PCA pastor in Brownsburg whose wife had COVID, and could I preach the next morning? Well, yeah, I got some in my file. I could do that, so that filled up that Sunday morning. But I also know that was the weekend that we found out that our granddaughter Grace, who's the oldest daughter of five, belonged to our son Dan, and his wife, they live in Cincinnati. They found out that weekend that Grace was having health problems, diagnosed as Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I know that weekend we threw some clothes into some suitcases and went down and spent most of the week helping out. And our day planner got filled up in a lot of ways because they said she's going to have to go through 6 months of chemo, 12 different treatments. And so we were on that adventure for the year to come. At one point while we were there in early January, I went up into my granddaughter's room to pray for her, and I noticed that she had a Bible verse posted on the wall, one of the walls in her room. It's from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You may know it, you may have it posted Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not for harm, plans to give you a future and a hope." I'll confess, I found myself thinking, I'm not sure I like this plan, but we had to discover that this was going to be a year where we were going to have to learn to trust the Lord more deeply. Trust God, who is able to give a future and a hope. When I knew that was a favorite verse of Grace, I went online one time on Amazon to find, you know, you can get all sorts of products that have Jeremiah 29:11 on it. You can get a pillow, you can get signs, you can get stained glass, you can get all sorts of things with that. But do you really believe what that verse says? I referenced Jeremiah 32 a few minutes ago. Would you turn with me again? Jeremiah chapter 32. I just want to go through something. I know our time's getting away from us, but I want to go through something, a scripture text. I want to set the context and then make some application as we wind down this morning. But Jeremiah chapter 32, I think, contains a very interesting chapter in the life of Jeremiah. I'll just read through quickly the first five verses. "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the palace. For Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had imprisoned him, saying, 'Why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am giving this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall capture it. Zedekiah shall not escape.'" Jump ahead to verse 5. "Though you fight against the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." Just put this in context. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, had gone to his king, Zedekiah, with a message. The message God had given him, which was, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is going to attack and conquer Judah. There's nothing you can do. No matter how hard you fight, you cannot prevail. Well, Polly didn't like that cracker. So Zedekiah has him thrown into prison. So, look at verse 6. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, behold," and what we have here is basically a description of a cousin, member of the family, "will come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth by the right of redemption.'" Just to set the stage here, Jeremiah does know some things that he can put into his day planner at this point in his life. Jail, 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 the destruction of his society, the defeat of his country, and carried off into exile. But wait a minute, a relative comes with news of an opportunity to get into the real estate market. What could be a better idea at this time than to get into real estate speculation, right? This doesn't sound like a very good future and a hope. I mentioned earlier, I retired in October of 2018. And prior to that, my wife and I had begun to talk periodically about how it might be a good idea for us to, at some point, look at the idea of moving out of the house that we'd lived in for 30-some years, had steps, we had to go up and stairs, we're getting older, let's look at a ranch house, and maybe we can move closer to some of our kids and this kind of stuff. So I found my wife began to look at this idea with some frequency throughout 2019. I retired in 2018, and we're talking about moving in 2019? Wait a minute, moving is a lot of work. Retirement, work, I thought we're talking about different concepts here. So I dragged my feet, I'll be honest, because I just didn't think, I could think of all sorts of reasons not to get involved in real estate. By the way, if you've been married a long time like we have, you learn in marriage you have to make compromises. So we didn't move in 2019. We moved in early January of 2020, but that's a different story. Anyway, I thought I had reasons not to get involved in real estate. Jeremiah certainly had reasons not to be involved in real estate. But look what he does. Look at verse 9. "And I bought the field, weighed out the money." Verse 10, "I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase. You know what's happening in these verses? All of these are details about how to complete a real estate transaction. If you've bought a house or that kind of thing recently, you know, you have closing, you have notary, you sign all sorts of things. That's what's going on here. Verse 14, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, put them in an earthenware vessel that they may last for a long time. This is God's way of saying to Jeremiah, you may not get to enjoy that field and plant corn in it this summer, but you store that deed and you keep the deed because you will someday. And verse 15 goes on to say, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. See what God's saying? Jeremiah, do you believe what I told you back in chapter 29, verse 11? That verse that people are going to hang on their walls years from now? That I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. That's what I'm telling you right here. I'm able. People will buy fields. Well, I will tell you, the end of January 2021 was a rough time for the McKay family. It was hard to watch our granddaughter go through chemotherapy treatments. Many of you know what I'm talking about, all the side effects, all the hard time. Last couple of years, our granddaughter has been an avid cross-country runner at her high school in Ohio. And when she heard of the diagnosis and chemo that was going to be involved, one of the first things she asked her doctor was, would she be able to run when the cross-country season started over in the summer and into the fall? And he said, well, yes, but you'll be slower. And she was at first. She was the 30th fastest runner on the team of, I think, of 30. But by the end of the season, she was fourth and fifth. And then she was well enough to be on the squad that they sent to regionals and then to districts. And she qualified to be on the team that went to the Ohio Girls Cross Country State Championship that was held. I'd like to tell you that her team won, the team didn't, but I can tell you that Grace was the fastest girl on her team. Well, speaking of day planners, what does yours look like? I brought along my 2022 day planner. I won't take the time to show you, but it's really blank right now as well. But you know what? I can tell you with certainty, things are going to happen in 2022, as they will in your life. Are you worried about that? Are you worried about the unknown future? Well, know this. You can trust God with your future. He knows what it is. And he is able to do far more abundantly than all that you ask or think. Let's pray. Eternal God, we thank you that we can place our trust in you, that indeed you are able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to that power that is at work within us. We thank you that that power is at work within us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the way that you sustain us through all the trials, all the challenges of life. Once again, we acknowledge our times are in your hands. But we feel safe knowing that, Lord. Accept now our praise, for we offer it in Christ's name. Amen.